And the reading today is from Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to 26. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord our God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways."
Well, good morning. It's great to see you here this morning. And I really hope that the Lord will speak to all of us this morning from this passage that we've been reading about. The title is Preaching with Power, and I've subtitled it Power for Life, because I think there's such a lot for each one of us to take. It's not just for those of us that are involved in preaching and leading and doing Sunday school and things like that. So we had the passage read to us, and I think it would be useful just to do a brief recap of what went before this event that we were reading today. If you were here last week, you would have heard the well-known story of Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And as they came in through the gate called Beautiful, they found a beggar there, a chap who had been crippled from birth, and he was brought there every day by his friends to beg for money. As Peter and John walked in, he appealed to them for some money. They looked at him, and they said, "We don't have money, but what we've got we will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." This man's legs, who had been so weak, suddenly were strengthened. He was helped to his feet. He was walking. He was leaping. He was praising God. And that brings us to the point where our passage started this morning. A crowd of people come running to Peter and John, astonished at what they had just seen. It's like the crowd of children going out the back there, isn't it? Sometimes they're astonished at the time they've got to go out and what they have before them. And I'd just like to share a little story that I read about in the last week or so. It concerns an old, tired-looking dog wandering into somebody's garden when she was doing some gardening. But she could tell that he was a pet. He had a collar, he was reasonably well-fed, and he was looked after. Anyway, she went into the house, and the dog followed him into the house. He went and lay down in a quiet corner, and he had to sleep for about an hour. Then he got up, and he went to the door. The lady then opened the door, and off he went. The same time next day, he was back again, went and lay down in the corner, had a snooze, and he pushed off. This went on for a few days, and obviously the lady was intrigued to find out what was going on. So she decided she would put a note on his collar to his owners. And she said, "Every afternoon, your dog comes to my house for a nap." Well, the next day he arrived back promptly again, and there was a different note attached to his collar. And this is what the note said. "He lives in a home with 4 children under the age of 6. He's trying to catch up on his sleep. Can I come with him tomorrow?" Well, we're going to look at this passage under 3 broad headings. The first one I want to look at is, why be surprised at the supernatural? And if you'll read with me the first few verses of this passage from verse 11. "While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Well, this is the second great public sermon that was ever done. Once again, it was Peter. We know the first one, of course, was at the day of Pentecost. And as I say, Peter had experienced a rush of people coming up to him, amazed at this incredible healing that they just witnessed. He immediately, though, puts the focus on where it belongs, on God. All of their staring that Peter refers to highlighted the fact just how amazing this miracle was. But many of the crowd would have known that Peter and John were disciples of Jesus. And here we have a continuation of the miracles that Jesus had performed and most of them would have known about. Peter makes it quite clear that the miracle had nothing to do with their own power or godliness. Peter may have remembered the location that they were standing in very well. Obviously, the guy got up and he walked around and he was leaping and praising God and he moved from the beautiful gate to Solomon's Colonnade. And this was the place where Jesus and his disciples had been before. In fact, this was the place where Jesus spoke about the Good Shepherd. You can read about it in John 10 from verse 22. So Peter points out to the Jews that the God they claim to worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was responsible for the miracle that was before them that day. God had glorified Jesus. That was why the miracle occurred. This was the very same Jesus that the Jews had handed over to be killed. The same Jesus that they had disowned. They had even asked for a murderer to be released in his place. Peter emphasizes that they had killed the author of life. This is a reference to the fact that God, the Creator, was killed by mankind. Yet, it was the power of the name of Jesus that healed the crippled man. Do we as Christians believe in the power of God today? Many of us know the language of the gospel, but there seem to be so many Christians who know nothing about the power of the gospel in their lives. Do we start each day with an awareness and thankfulness that the God who created the heavens and the earth loves each one of us and has a plan for us? Perhaps you should try it. It might make a difference to how your day goes. There are a number of verses that attest to the power of God and the fact that he can do things supernaturally. Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, said this, "What is impossible with men is possible with God. And Paul, in Romans 8, said, "No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." There are so many verses that attest to God's power, and we mustn't forget that in our world today. But after Jesus' ascension, his miraculous power continued through the church. More than this, as Christians, if you are Christians here this morning, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the power of God in us, available to help us serve God according to God's will for our lives. Chris spoke last week about Peter and John's expectant faith before the miracle occurred. They were expecting God to do something. There's a lot of things that are said in the Bible about faith. Let me just mention one of them that shows this link. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, where Jesus is dealing with two blind men. And he says, "Then he touched their eyes and he said, 'According to your faith will it be done to you.' And their sight was restored." So clearly Jesus draws a link between the power that he's able to give and the faith of the recipient. And faith is also to honor God's character, to honor who he is. And power is a big component of that. Do you and I know anything about this expectant faith that we were talking about there? Does our faith enable us to step out each day in faith that God will use us to be a blessing to other people? Or is it just another day? We carry on as normal. Perhaps you may have a big dream in your heart at the moment. Perhaps it's for a better job. Perhaps if you're a student, it's for better grades at school or college. Perhaps it's for a strong marriage. Perhaps it's for a business of your own. Perhaps it's to overcome an illness that's bothering you. Perhaps it's to know and serve God better. But perhaps you can't see any human way of getting through your problem. But the goodness of God isn't limited by natural boundaries as we are. He works according to our faith and can do great things of great power if we are faithful. So do we expect God to use us to achieve great things for him? Or do we take this attitude of, "No, surely not me, there must be somebody else who can do a better job"? And do we listen when God shows us his will clearly? It's important. Then we must remember that the power of God is expressed now through his church primarily. We are called upon to be obedient, and as we are obedient, God will bless us if we work and allow his power to work through us. We all know that God has a purpose for each one of us. That purpose is to worship him, to love him, and to obey him by using everything that he's given us to show God's love and to be a blessing to people around us. Nowadays, many of us unfortunately live very self-centered lives, and we rob others of the joy and the blessing that God wants us to share with them. Well, this brings us on to the next point, and it concerns the gospel blessings. If you'll read with me from verse 17. "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." Now, Peter's central theme covers all aspects of our life, the past, the present, and the future. If you look with me at verse 19, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." I think we all know that the past plays a huge role in our lives at the present. Guilt, pain, bitterness, anger, and hurt that we've experienced in the past can be absolutely crushing in our current situation. Sometimes we've experienced some of these things at the hands of other people, and sometimes, sadly, we've been the person who've been dishing it out. But if we hold on to these things, what we do is that we focus on ourselves and we don't permit our faith to grow. If we're not focusing on God, our faith will not grow. And yet this great verse tells us all of our sins can be blotted out. They can be obliterated. Just look at some of the verses in the Bible that talk about how God deals with our sins. Firstly, just think of our Lord Jesus hanging on the cross there for us. He bore our sins on him, and God turned away from him as he judged the sin of the world. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He forsook us because of your sin, my sin, the sins of the world that were placed on him at that time. God was dealing with it then. Look at some of the verses that I have here from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction, and you have put all my sins behind your back. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot, and you will hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Did you pick that up in the first hymn? It spoke about that. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And lastly, Jeremiah 31, verse 34. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. There are many others throughout the whole Bible, but I just brought a selection here to show you how God deals with our sin when we turn to him in repentance. So remember, you don't have to carry a burden around anymore. God has provided a way. However, unresolved sin has two main implications for us. Firstly, it has eternal implications. If we neglect God's gracious provision for our sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot go to heaven. Secondly, it has personal implications. God will not bless us if we hang on to unresolved sin in our life. Well, let's pick up where we were reading, and it carries on and says that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The gospel can also have a huge impact on our present situation. Each one of us here today want happiness and contentment. I'm sure you'd all agree that's what we'd like. But so often, we look for it in all the wrong places, and it just ends up bringing harm and hurt. If we are not in tune with God's will for our lives, we will never truly experience contentment because we are out of step with what he wants for us. But if we are living in Christ, we are promised these times of refreshing. Now, this can be a description of Christian life in general, but is it our experience of Christian life? Would we describe our Christian life at the moment as times of refreshing? It contains an idea of rest and relief after a period of strain. I know that most of us have been through periods like this. Those of you that are younger, if you haven't, you certainly will do in the not-too-distant future. And I know that there are people sitting here today who are in the midst of a situation like that. We had an example this past week of a situation that required this refreshing. It was one of our neighbors who lives close by to us. She popped in while we were actually having our Thursday group Bible study, and she was very upset. Her daughter, who was at university, had taken an overdose of pills, and she was lapsing in and out of consciousness. This lady gave us the key to her house, and she took off, obviously, to go and see her daughter. She was in need of refreshing at that point, and she certainly would be. And anyone else who experiences a crisis like that, dropping on them unexpectedly, will be needing a period of refreshing. And refreshment and renewal are also there so that we are ready for further activity. We all know that we can't be like machines. We can't go on and on. We have to rest. We have to take refreshment and recover and be renewed so that we can carry on and be effective. Our spirits can become tired, stale, and depressed, and they need refreshment. We've all been there, haven't we? And we get refreshment primarily through God's Word, through the ministering of other Christians, and through being filled with the Spirit. So when these times of refreshing come, we must be expecting them. These times of refreshing are to be treasured, and these times of refreshing are to be shared with the people around us. Christian obedience and fellowship and fulfilling our responsibility to others will see God's blessing and refreshment pouring out on us. Can I ask you, how strong and relevant is your faith? Our individual Christian faith must always be lived as a present tense reality. If it's not real to us in the present, something's wrong, and we need to get it right. And we come to the future aspect of the gospel blessings. If you carry on looking, this time from verse 20, goes on, that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago in his holy prophets. While there's an element here that concerns our earthly future, this is primarily, obviously, talking about eternity. But I would like to just say one thing about our earthly future. And the reality is that if we are Christians, we are already part of the kingdom of God. And we must live in that way. So, let me ask you, is there a difference in your life because of your faith and because of your hope for the future that the Bible speaks about? That reality must have a profound effect on our lives. It must affect how we interact with our spouse, our children, our parents, our fellow Christians, and the non-Christians that we come in contact with on our daily routines. However, as I say, Peter's point here is really concerning our eternal future. This is the point in history where eternity begins and human choice comes to an end. Here, we are going to see real power at work. This is when God renews the universe at the end times, as we read about in the Bible. The same Jesus that was our Savior, who died for our sins, who is now sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, will reappear then, visibly, personally, and triumphantly, to bring in his role as judge. The new world order will happen. And it won't be brought about by George Bush, the United States, or any other political force. But it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ who will bring about the new world order. When Jesus returns, God will regenerate creation. There's also the future aspect of the gospel blessings that relate to each one of us, if we are Christians. All of the blessings of heaven that have been promised to us will be poured out to us. All of them will be poured out to us at that stage. Just a few of them to mention. We will have a glorified body. We will have freedom from pain and suffering. We will share in the riches of heaven that God has promised. We will be in the presence of God. And we will share in God's perfect love and blessing for all eternity. These are just a few of them. Go and look. You'll be excited and encouraged by God's promises for our eternity. Well, this brings us to the third point in the sermon, and this is concerning obedience to God. If you'll read with me from verse 22. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen will be completely cut off from among his people." Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your father. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. The prophet that's mentioned here is very clearly the Lord Jesus. We are instructed specifically to listen to what he tells us. The implications of not listening are also very clear. We risk being cut off from God's favor. And that's an awesome thing. Listening and doing what we are instructed by the Lord Jesus is what we are required to do. We need to be very clear that these are not suggestions from the Lord. They are commands. And that is to be a blessing to all peoples on earth by telling them the gospel, as we have been blessed by the gospel. If you think about it, that command that Jesus made to the disciples is the exact reason that each one of us that are Christians are here today. It's the exact reason that Will and Doretta are sharing the gospel in Albania, and that Sarah, a couple of weeks ago, has gone to do the same thing in the Far East. We are continuing what God expects of us, to share the gospel with all peoples of the world. We ourselves have been turned away from the sin that separates us from God through Christ, and from the sin that causes pain to ourselves and those around us. You'll remember that Jesus gave a new commandment to his disciples. That was to love each other as he loved us. We are to be known by this love in our communities. And it must be a distinguishing feature of our lives. The alternatives to obeying God are far too serious for any one of us to even consider, to be completely cut off from among his people. Don't think many people these days have any conception of how serious that is. Well, let me come to the conclusion now. We've looked today at Peter's second great sermon in the early church. But what can we learn from it 2,000 years later? Is there any application that we can take from it and take home with us after the service this morning? There are a number, I believe. Concerning faith, we need to have an expectant faith in a powerful God who does things supernaturally. We must live with an awareness of God's power that is available to us as we live in obedience to the Lord. We need to live in faith that sustains us even when we go through periods of trial, pressure, and testing. Because those are things that will develop perseverance and character in our lives. The Bible tells us that temptations, trials, and difficulties must come. And it's the tough times where we find out what we are really made of. The trials also expose areas in each of us that we need to deal with. It's these difficulties where God shows us what we need to be working on. And God uses these problems to raise our awareness of impurities in our character. We all have them. What is the area of your life where you're struggling with impurities? And sometimes God allows adversity to come into our lives because it pushes us out of our comfort zone towards what God has prepared for us. And if we step out in faith and follow what God opens up for us, we know that He has the power to accomplish it in our lives. We can also look forward to times of refreshing in our lives from God. There's a saying that says this: Jesus will not only add years to your life, but He will add life to your years. And that is very true if we live obedient lives. Also, we need to live our lives with a strong future perspective based on God's promises, God's faithfulness to date, and His promises that we have of eternity with Him. And lastly, concerning obedience, we need to listen to the commands of Jesus. We need to obey those commands with the power that is available to us in God. And the obedience that we start doing brings blessings from God to you and to those around you. But remember, disobedience has terrible consequences. So don't flirt with sin. In short, we need to be obedient to God. We need to be a blessing to others, and we have the power of God to help us to do that in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this passage that Your servant Peter preached, and we thank You so much for the relevance to each one of us here today. Lord, forgive us for not acknowledging Your power in our lives enough, for not being obedient enough to allow Your power to work in our lives. And Lord, we pray You'll help us to repent from these areas of disobedience and sin that we still retain. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to be completely obedient to You. We pray that You will fill us with Your Spirit and help us to obey You. Help us to be more Christ-like and help us to have the impact that You created us for in the lives of the people that we interact with. We thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning. We pray that You'll help us to remember it and to apply it to our lives and to make a difference to our lives. Amen.